One. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Yes, praise God. Well, we just certainly are so grateful for those that are visiting Family Church here today. Usually I take several moments to welcome those that are visiting, but we've got to get right into some things here. We just, again, we welcome those that are new with us. We're just so glad to have you. We want to see you back. Amen. Praise the Lord. But the Lord has something for us to do here today. And it was not something that I have planned or something. I have a message. I left my notes down there at my seat because we're not going to be, you know, requiring those here today because, you know, the Lord just has, you know, something good in store. And we're going to get right to that. But for those of you that are visiting, it's just proper for me to introduce myself. My name is Pastor Tim Stahlman, and I'm the senior pastor here. And we welcome you. And I know that this church welcomes you. And everyone's glad to see you here today. Praise the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles. Go over to the book of Acts and go to Acts chapter 3. Praise the Lord. Well, this is a direction that the Lord started to set last night in our Erie service. And as I was sitting in the seat and as we were just worshiping, there's some things that the Lord wants to do here that's even different than what he did last night. But we are being redirected to a verse that the Lord would have us to start with and to build upon. Go to Acts chapter 3. The presence of God is very strong in this place here today. Your help is here. God's mercy and grace is in this place. He is here to help you. There are those here today that you need to be set free, and you will be set free before you walk out that door here today if you'll receive, you know, what God has in store for you. We need to see and understand something. Last night, as I tried to preach my message, now I try to make sure that every sermon here at Family Church is inspired by the Lord. We don't want cookie cutter messages. We don't want messages that are inspired by man. And of course, I take that very seriously. I don't believe, you know, in just trying to, throw something out there. The Bible says that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do so by the ability, according to the ability that God has placed in him. And so we want the oracles of God here. You know, we don't want just a book report or just information or something like that. But as I was starting to, give out the title of the sermon last night and just try to proceed, all of a sudden the Holy Ghost, you know, just came on me in a very unique way and started to impress this verse upon me. It was not a verse that I had been studying. It was not the verse that I planned on preaching on or anything like that. And I sat up there in front of our Erie church last night. You never know when a preacher is wrestling in his mind. But I was up there getting the sermon going, and the whole time the Holy Ghost is telling me to go to Acts chapter 3. And I'm up there, in my mind, like, is that you, Lord? Oh, wait, I need to do what I planned. I have all these notes and all these things that I want to say and all these things that I want to share. And I was up there, and finally, I just confessed in front of the congregation last night. I said, time out, everybody. You know, we got to go to Acts chapter 3 because you don't want a message that comes from a person. You want a message that comes from the Lord. Amen. So go with me to Acts chapter 3. It is verse 16. And this is where we're going to start here today. Amen. Are you ready to follow the Holy Ghost here today? Follow what the Spirit of God wants to do in our midst. He says this over there. Now, I got to preface this scripture. You know that John and Peter, that they were on their way. If you start there at Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, you know that John and Peter were heading into the temple of the Lord at the hour of prayer, remember? And it was right around 3 o'clock in the afternoon for us. The way they kept time was a little different. And so they were just going up for prayer time into the temple. And there was a man who was lame or crippled from birth. Remember this? And they set him every day at the gate of the temple called Beautiful. There was a gate to the temple that was called the gate called Beautiful. And they would set this man, and for those times, he was a little bit older. The Bible says that he was over the age of 40, which, you know, you know, anyone over the age of 40 here today, all right, but in those days, maybe life expectancy wasn't quite as long, and so he had been crippled from birth. People would set him at the gate called Beautiful every day so that he could beg for money. And when John and Peter were walking into the temple, remember this? He said to John and Peter, you know, he asked them for money, and all of a sudden Peter stopped and looked at the man. He said, "Gold and silver have I none, but what I do have, I give unto you." Remember? And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, he said, "Stand up and walk." And remember? And now if you read it carefully, the man did not stand up on his own. Peter said that to him. The man, you know, was fastened. He was looking up as he was crippled on the ground. Peter looking down at him, and the man just stood there. And so Peter reached down and started to pull that man up, right? And the scripture says that as he was being lifted, strength came to his ankle bones, healing came into his legs, and the Bible says that he leapt for joy. He started walking into the temple with John and Peter. All the people of Jerusalem, they knew that man was crippled from birth. He was well known. He begged every day there. And we saw a huge crowd gather around what was happening. How many of you remember this in the Bible, right? And they gathered around, and Peter started to address a very, very large crowd. And Peter said, "Why do you, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this?" He said, "Why are you surprised?" He says, "Don't think by our own holiness or our name this thing has been done." And then we come to verse 16, and this is the verse that the Lord wants us to share, and obviously is very important for us right here and right now. Go to Acts 3:16, and Peter is now explaining, he's addressing the crowd that saw this miracle, and Peter says something very incredible. He says this, "And his name," talking about the name of Jesus, amen, "and his name through faith in his name has made this man strong." Everyone say strong. Strong. He says, "In whom you see and you know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Folks, and this is what the Lord is communicating to us today. Notice the two words, perfect soundness. The Lord is letting his people know this is what he has in store for everyone that will believe and release faith in the name of Jesus Christ. People that will believe upon the Lord. People that will walk with God. Put him first. Amen. He has perfect soundness. And notice he wants that perfect soundness to be seen by everybody around you. God has perfect soundness for you, spirit, soul, and body. But many of God's people right now are being plagued or tormented, being, you know, stressed in mind, you know, being absolutely pressured, you know, in their spirit with, you know, intense thoughts, you know, being pressured in their marriage, pressured, you know, in their spiritual life, and a temptation to quit and to not do very much for God and to just go into this lack of grace, you know, in their life. Folks, I'm here to tell you, he's got perfect soundness for you. He's got perfect soundness for you. He wants to restore your soul. He wants to renew your mind. He wants to lift burdens out of your life. I'll tell you what, and this is what the Holy Ghost is saying to me. There's people that call themselves Christians, which they are, but they've been trapped in addictions and they're trapped in habits that are keeping them back. I'll tell you what, that is a lack of perfect soundness. And I'm here to tell you that his name, and by faith in his name, can destroy those addictions. Destroy those addictions. Amen. And there's somebody, if not many somebodies or multiple somebodies here today, that you're walking and you are absolutely being held captive by an addiction. Right, right. And I'm here to tell you the power of the name of Jesus Christ is in this place today and every time we gather to set you free. We're going to obey God. Amen. Folks, there is no shame. Listen, there's no blame either. Jesus took your shame and Jesus took your blame. And I'm here to tell you that he wants to set you free. I'll tell you what, if the name of Jesus Christ and by faith in that name, if it could, you know, heal that body, if it could pull that man up from that crippled state, I'm here to tell you that that name will deliver you, set you free of addiction. It'll lift burdens. It'll heal your body. We're living in a time where so many people, so many of God's people, they're not seeing the power of God. So they've stopped believing that God truly wants perfect soundness for everybody. All of a sudden they say, oh, God doesn't heal. He's not in the healing business. I'm here to tell you, yes, he is. It, by his name and by faith in his name. Well, he's not really delivering anybody anymore. That doesn't happen anymore. Listen, it's not happening anymore, not because God doesn't want it, but because grace, you know, has depleted and people's willingness, you know, sometimes is not there, or we get into doctrines that carry us away. I'm here to tell you that God wants you living in perfect soundness. Addictions. There's no blame or no shame. With every eye open, no heads bowed, nobody putting blame or shame on anybody. To have the courage, you know, to respond to this. If you're here today, and you'd be honest with yourself and say, Pastor, I have an addiction in my life and I need to get free from it. There is grace and there is power in this place today to deliver you from that addiction. If that's you, have the courage right now to stand to your feet and meet me down here in front of this altar. Is there anyone here today that would just be willing? Yes, praise the Lord. It takes courage. There's no blame. There's no shame. Come on down. And I appreciate you responding instantly. Because you responded instantly, others had the courage to do the same. There's no shame. I'm not here to ask you questions about what it is. But as we lay hands on you in the name of Jesus, that thing is going to be broken. All right? And then there's going to be some homework that you will have, you know, to do at home. Praise the Lord. Father, we glorify you. Glorify you. Everyone in this church, let's just worship God. You know, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is different, I know, but we're following the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. In Jesus' name, I take authority over that addiction and I break it in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, I break that addiction that is holding him down and has tried to capture him. I declare by that name of Jesus, it is broken right now. In Jesus' mighty name, I take authority over that addiction and I break it. It is broken in the name of Jesus. He desires perfect soundness. Spirit, soul, and body. And that addiction is just trying to oppress your soul. In Jesus' name, I take authority over that addiction. And it's broken in the mighty name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, I say that that addiction is broken in her life. No more. Father, I thank you and I praise you and I glorify you. In Jesus' mighty name, take authority over that addiction. It is broken in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Everybody up here, do you believe that addiction is being broken? In Jesus' mighty name, I take authority over that addiction and I command it to be broken. No more, no more. In Jesus' mighty name, I take authority over that addiction. No more, no more shall it oppress you. In Jesus' mighty name, I take authority over that addiction. Hallelujah. We declare and we believe in the name of Jesus, it is broken. In Jesus' mighty name, Father, we thank you, Lord God. That addiction is broken in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, there's great mercy for you, sir. And I see those burdens lifting off your shoulder. You can let that go now. It is broken in Jesus' mighty name. Cast those cares. Cast that burden. He will sustain you, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will not suffer or allow the righteous to be moved. We just declare that is broken in Jesus' name. Rest for the soul. Rest for the soul. Tom, I see those burdens just lifting off your shoulders. And you know what? You're going to need to forgive yourself. I don't even know what that's for or whatever. But you're going to have to forgive yourself. You're going to have to let things in the past go, and you're going to have to press forward. Whatever those things are, I don't know. But in Jesus' mighty name, that addiction is broken. That addiction, that burden, that thing that has tried to oppress your body and mind, in Jesus' name, glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just worship Him. Father, we glorify You here today. We magnify You, Lord God. We glorify Your holy name. We bless You, Lord God. We bless You, Lord God. Father, You are holy. You are so faithful and good. You know, you can open your eyes. It hurts the heart of God to think that His people think that He wants anything less for them than perfect soundness. His name produces perfect soundness. His name absolutely heals bodies and delivers minds and takes burdens, you know, out of our lives. Folks, but I'm here to tell you, whether you came up front or you didn't, we're going to have a part to play in knowing how to resist those things. Everybody that just came forward, please listen to what I'm about to tell you. Just because the name of Jesus was declared over you, just because hands were laid upon you, that does not mean that there isn't going to come a great temptation and an assault of the enemy to try to steal what you received here today. Do not think or assume that you will not be tempted, you know, in the area that you were just, you know, prayed for over, right? I'm here to tell you that Satan will come and try to steal the word, you know. I'll tell you what, I'm just going to give you a little heads up, and then I'm going to teach you exactly what you need to know so that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. You got to stand against the wiles of the devil, and we'll get into that. We'll just see where the Lord takes us. I know at least some direction that we're going to go. But if you're here, I'm here to tell you, by the time you get to the end of the driveway today, when you leave this building, there will be a temptation. The devil will come to you and say, man, you don't feel that anymore. Where was that good feeling that you got in church? You're going to get home and you're going to feel the temptation to go right back to that thing. You feel spiritual and you feel all good here today, but you're going to walk out of this building, and what are you going to do when a good feeling is hard to find? You can't, the feeling is not the guarantee. You know, the feeling is not the proof that something happened. All right. The faith is the proof that something happened. And see, it's our responsibility to enforce these things. It's our responsibility to declare these things. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go with me in your Bibles. Go over to 2 Corinthians. Actually, go to Ephesians 6. We're going to go a different direction. We may end up in 2 Corinthians. I think that's very important to share here today. I'll tell you what. We got to get free. Stay free. Bible says that dominion or sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under law. You are under grace. Grace makes us free from the dominion of sin or addictions. Amen. Glory to God. Go over. Where did I tell you to go? Ephesians chapter 6. That's a good chapter of scripture right there. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start down there, right around the 13th verse. Wasn't planning to go here, didn't go here. Maybe we looked at just one verse last night, but we're going to take this whole passage here. Go over to Ephesians chapter 6. Praise the Lord. Go down there in verse 10. Let's start there in verse 10. Glory to God. All right. So whether you came forward today, or maybe there's something in your life that you need, you know, perfect soundness. You know, God did not call us to be stressed. God did not call us to be worried all the time. God did not call us to be, you know, complaining and down and sad. Folks, yes, life is very challenging. We know that. But here's the good news. Perfect soundness can be right there in the middle of a storm, right there in the biggest challenge of your life. Here's Ephesians 6:10. This is the word of the Lord to His people. He says, finally, my brethren, do we have any brethren here today? Yes. Sisters included. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice God says, be strong in my power. All right. And what that means is, you know, it would be very easy for us just to believe that, well, now that hands were laid upon me and now that the pastor prayed for me, everything is just gonna, you know, feel good and everything's just, you know, taken care of. I'll tell you what, as far as God is concerned, that name of Jesus, that destroyed that yoke that is on you here today. But you're gonna have to know something to maintain it. All right. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Notice that's an instruction to you and I. God doesn't just do that automatically for us. He says, you have to be strong in what is my power and might. How do you stay strong in the power and the might of the Lord? Well, we're gonna teach you how to do that. He says over there in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. See, the wiles of the devil is what's gonna come against you the moment you walk out of church. The moment you are by yourself later, whether it was a substance abuse addiction, a pornography addiction, an eating addiction, we could just go into so many things. Social media, I mean, there's so many things, right? You know, as soon as you get away from church, you're sitting down, going about your mundane life, the good feeling that is in this place right now is not going to be there. The devil is going to make sure to try to get you living on, you know, just trying to live on the feeling. You can't do that, right? Okay. And so the wiles of the devil, that word wiles, it means schemes, his plans. And so he's going to scheme you. He's going to try to scheme or tempt you back into that, you know, addiction, trying to get you to believe that this didn't work here today. Or if you, the devil will try to get you to blame yourself or condemn yourself. He's going to tell you, oh, it didn't work. And the problem is you. It didn't work. And you just must not believe enough. You must not do enough. You're not as holy as the pastor is. You're not like Brother Mega Faithful over here. You're not like Sister Prayer Warrior, you know. He's going to tell you all that stuff. And notice, you have to stand against the wiles of the devil, meaning that you're not retreating, because the enemy is going to absolutely push against you. He's going to push against you. He's going to test what you just received right here. Or if we were just to hear a quote unquote normal sermon, he's going to be right out there in that parking lot to test what you just heard. You know, whatever you were taught on, you know, Jesus said over there in Mark chapter 4 that Satan comes to steal the word. You know, he comes to steal it and make it so we don't, you know, walk in the word of God. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand. So guess what, everybody? You got to stand. This is what the modern generation does not want to hear. We want everyone to stand for us. We want God to stand for us. We want the pastor to stand for us. We want our spouse to stand for us. Listen, no one's going to do your standing for you. That word stand, it means resist. Resist. That word stand means that you push back. Push back against the schemes of the enemy. You know, praise the Lord. If you got free here today, you need to declare, I am free. Amen. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. And then when the wiles of the devil show up, you're going to need to know how to stand. It says this in verse 12, and here's the reason why. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against demonic personalities. That's what he's talking about. People aren't your problem. Yeah. I'll tell you what, people aren't your problem, but I'm here to tell you, if you're walking closely with people who are not following the Lord, I'm here to tell you their actions can absolutely pull you in the wrong direction. Absolutely. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:20, it says over there, where is that scripture? It says a wise man, a companion of fools, he that is wise walks with wise men, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Folks, even though we wrestle not against flesh and blood, we certainly can be influenced by people that want nothing to do with God. Or they're walking with lower standards or whatever. And it doesn't mean we're trying to judge people or to be mean and everything. You know, we have to be careful. Folks, if you're going to stand, you're going to make somebody unhappy. I truly believe the Holy Ghost is letting us know that this current generation is addicted to the approval of others. What are you going to do when making a stand for the Lord might produce somebody who does not like it, who you're close to, maybe a family member or a friend? In order to walk in the ways of God, it might upset somebody around you. What are you going to do when, you know, you're with somebody and maybe you have an alcohol addiction and they're offering you a drink? You know, and you know by turning it down, it's going to upset them. Or they're going to, I've been through this 100 times. I've been through this 100 times. Even people that know I'm a minister, you know, I mean, you would just think, you know what? Come to think of it, it happened yesterday. It happened yesterday. I was sitting out at Erie before the church service. And I was at the gas station car wash place up there on Peach Street called Delta Sonic. And I was sitting there and I filled up my tank and I pulled it through their little shop there for them to clean it out and get my truck cleaned up and stuff. And so I'm sitting there and I was just sitting at one of their little booths that they have in the store there. And I was over by the door and, you know, I was waiting for the guy to come get me, you know, when my truck was done. I'm sitting there and this woman walks in. Of course, I was prepared for, you know, service that night. It was just a few hours before church. So I was wearing my suit and stuff. And this lady walks in, very wonderful lady, very nice and outgoing. But please know, and I'm not criticizing her. All right. This isn't harsh or anything like that. But she walks in and she stops and looks at me. And she's like, where's your t-shirt and your shorts? I said, I don't know. I guess I left them home today. And she says, what are you, a businessman? And I was like, well, in a manner of speaking, you know, I said, I'm a pastor. And she said, oh, really? What church? And I, you know, told her about the church. She's like, oh, yeah, I drive by your church every day. You know, that's great. She says, Pastor, you need to come to our church festival. I said, oh, yeah, you got a church festival going on? She's like, yeah, it's coming up. She's like, do you like to drink beer? And I said, oh, no, I don't drink. She said, oh, that's too bad, because at our church festival, we have an Irish beer drinking tent. I'm thinking, oh. And I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't drink, you know. And I just was very, you know, nice about it and things. But it almost seemed to upset her. You know, like all of a sudden people get upset, you know. And it wasn't that I was aggressive. I just simply just said, no, I don't drink. You know, I said, you know, I quit that, you know, years ago, many years ago, I quit drinking. And it almost seemed, I didn't act like I was better than her. I wasn't trying to say that or anything, but people get put off. Our current generation in the social media generation is so addicted to approval. We think that everybody's got to like what we do. And I'm here to tell you, if you're going to make a stand for the things of God, you are going to upset the apple cart at some point. There's going to be something about you that people, you know, at times they don't like. Have you ever been in a situation where maybe your kids, you know, my boys are older now, but the kids go over, you know, to another house or to a family member's house or something. And, you know, everybody's, you know, getting ready to watch a movie. But it's like, you know, that you don't let your kids watch the movie that they select. And you got to say, oh, I'm sorry. We don't let our kids watch that. And you make a very simple, good parenting choice and people act put out. Oh, you think you're better. Yeah, folks, I'm here to tell you, you know, when you start to make a stand and you just have standards of the Lord in your life, you cannot allow the approval of others to lower your standards. Because if you seek the approval of men, you will not have the approval of God. Have you ever had somebody think you're strange because you go to church actually twice a week, you know? Or they just don't like your Christianity or something like that. I'm here to tell you, there's just going to be times when the devil will try to put that pressure on you through somebody, you know, who doesn't like that you decline, whether the alcohol or the dope, or they don't like, you know, your standards for what you bring into your life as far as entertainment or something like that. Folks, I tell you, we're going to have a stand at some point. Are you here? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is where we're getting here to. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to what? Stand again. Whose job is it to do the standing? That's ours. We're going to teach you how to do that here today. Amen. Glory to God. In verse 14, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. There it is. Be dressed with truth. People aren't going to always like that. Just so you know, people don't like that at times. You know, if you're going to serve Jesus fully, just don't think that everyone's going to throw you a party all the time. You know, oh, you mean you go to church even on Wednesday night? Oh, you're crazy. You're weird. You know, oh, you won't come to, you know, you're going to go to church first before going to our family get together? Yeah, I'm going to go to church first. Obviously, I don't have that problem in my family. I'm just saying I deal with people. They go through that all the time where family members or friends or something will schedule something purposely right in the midst of their time with God. And Christians feel that pressure. Well, I can't tell them, you know. I'll tell you what, and of course, I don't have this issue. I'm very grateful. Not my parents, not my siblings, nobody. But I've just seen a lot of Christians deal with that. Like where people will try to throw them stumbling blocks. I'm here to tell you, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You throw something in the middle of my church time, I'm here to tell you, your something is getting cast out and I'm going to church. Amen. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth. Truth is the most important thing in my life. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod or dressed with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, verse 16 is what we're getting to. Above all, everyone say above all. Taking the shield of what? Faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery or flaming arrows of the wicked one. Literally, the King James just says wicked. If you have a more modern Bible, it translates it correctly. Or more correctly, in the Greek, it's the term wicked one, or a reference to Satan himself. So what does Satan do? He stands back with his flaming arrows and he takes shots at you. Sure. Folks, I'm here to tell you, whether you came up front here this morning or not, there are flaming arrows in the form of thoughts, in the form of temptations, in the form of worries, in the form of stress. Anything that would take away perfect soundness. What does Jesus want for you? Perfect soundness. Spirit, soul, and body. He wants perfect soundness. But that enemy is going to throw flaming arrows at you to get you away from perfect soundness. Folks, if you were ministered up here today, what was ministered to you? Perfect soundness. Don't let it go. Make a stand to hold on to it. And now this scripture tells you exactly what to do to hold on to that perfect soundness. Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all. Everyone say all. There's nothing that the devil can throw at you that faith cannot override, cast down, and conquer. Folks, that word faith, and I'm going to upset somebody here today. That word faith, it means the spoken word out of your mouth. That's literally the definition of faith. And we know we're well acquainted that over the last several decades, there's been a movement in the body of Christ called the Word of Faith Movement. I am here to tell you that that movement, it started with the Word of God. It absolutely has merit, but unfortunately, yes, any and all doctrines will be taken out of bounds by people who will twist it and abuse it. There have been abuses of the Word of Faith. They've put greed into it. They've tried to, you know, think that the only thing you do with faith is try to get money or something like that. Of course, that's wrong. But where that movement started, it started with the Word of God. Folks, you cannot get born again without speaking words of faith. Speaking and declaring faith is the Word. And I'm here to tell you that there is an assault on the word of faith, you know, trying to get everybody to regress, and you're not supposed to declare your faith. That is demonic. That is a demonic doctrine. And when that's what happens when people let go of their faith and they can't explain why they're still being pressured. See, what happens is the devil will put you into a place where you have to stand. And he's bringing demonic activity, just beating on you and beating on you. And people start to think, well, I must be a failure because I keep facing this pressure. Because this issue doesn't go away. Because, you know, the pain in my body didn't change, or the assaults on my mind didn't change. I'm here to tell you, you're going to have to stand. And you might have to stand more than a day. You might have to take a stand more than a month. You might have to take a stand for more than a year. Because I'm here to tell you that the stand of faith is more valuable to God than what it even will give you. Say, well, it's all about the healing. No, it's not. It's about the faith. It's not all about, you know, your needs being met just instantly when you want them. It's the faith that is valuable to God. And yes, faith will break through, and it will eventually quench or stomp out every fiery arrow of the enemy. But if it doesn't happen in your timetable, don't give up. I have watched people just get pounded and pounded and pounded. And I said, you're in the standing phase. And they'll say, well, I don't want to be in the standing phase anymore. What I would prefer to just do is I just won't believe in standing anymore. Wrong. You gave up the wrong thing. You abandoned your very help. I know life is tough. I know there's extreme challenges. I know that things, you know, come against us. And sometimes very intense and hard, you know, intense hardships. But above all, take the shield of your spoken words of faith, and you have to take and put those fires out.
Yes, right.
Folks, every single one of us have been through that. Some fires burn hotter than others. Some people have been through tougher things you're going through. You've been through tougher things than others. We all could sit there and compare notes, but that would just be a big waste of time. Because no matter if your challenge is big or small, the assignment is still the same. Stand. See, these are the weapons of our spiritual warfare. To speak and declare even when you're in the middle of the fire. Can you bring up 1 Peter 1:7? I will show you the verse. We have many verses that tell us the faith is more valuable than the healing that it produces. Faith is more valuable than the financial help that it could produce or the joy that it could produce. See, God puts a value on the faith. And sometimes we as believers, we just want what we want. We just want the problem to go away. But see, that's not what the Lord's looking for. When Jesus arrives, he's not going to ask you, hey, did you avoid all your troubles? Did you avoid all the hardships? That's not the goal. That the trial of your faith. Does everyone see that? That's not me pointing to myself. That's me pointing at the word behind me.
Amen.
The trial of your faith. Oh, my goodness. And see, and that can be one of the abuses of the word of faith, when people start to twist doctrine and they make faith sound like you'll never go through a trial of your faith. Like that would almost be a bad confession to some faith people. My faith is never tested. It's not. What planet do you live on then? You either live on a different planet or you're lying. If you're not challenged, I'm here to tell you, you're not challenged, you know, in your faith, you're probably not doing much for God. I don't say that to attack anybody, but you have to know and understand, you know, that the enemy is real and he comes after you. And I'm not trying to give him any glory. You can stand. You can quench all the fiery arrows of the enemy. The trial of your faith is much more precious than gold that perishes.
Amen.
God says, while you're in that trial and while you're keeping that faith, that is precious to him. All right. Though it be tried with fire, that your faith would be found unto the praise and the honor and the glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You're tried in the fire. Your faith is there in the midst of the trial, but you kept on using the shield of faith. You kept saying, by his stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, by the name of Jesus, I have perfect soundness. Amen. Praise the Lord. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. Amen. Where we just start declaring the word of God. All my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. See, you got to have something to say in the midst of the trial. Amen. When Jesus shows up, notice what he's looking for. He's looking for what you did in the midst of the fire. Amen. Right?
Yes.
Amen. Are you here?
Yes.
Say, well, Pastor, I just wanted you to lay hands on me, and I thought all the fire was going to go away. No, I'm here to tell you, you got free in the name of Jesus Christ. But I'm just, you know, doing my due diligence to let you know that the devil's going to come right back and try to, you know, steal it away and take it away from you. All right. But whose job is it to stand? Our job to stand. Go back over there to Ephesians 6:16, if you would. You're right there. Above all, taking the spoken word of faith. Literally, the word faith is the word to speak.
Yeah.
Oh. Can you bring up 2 Corinthians 4:13? Wasn't planning on going here. We just need to see more scriptures on this. Because the body of Christ has stopped speaking. The body of Christ has stopped releasing the shield of faith. And the scripture says, above all, take the shield of faith. You better have that shield working. Can you bring that up where I tell you to go? Praise the Lord. I got quite a few different takers there. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:13. There it is. We having the same spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Is there anyone in here that you want to have the spirit of faith? You better have it. According as it is written, I believed, therefore I have spoken. I'll tell you what, faith is not faith until you believe it with the heart and speak it with the mouth. Is there anyone that believed that Jesus Christ is Lord and you spoke it with your mouth and got saved? You can't get born again without the word of faith. And I'll tell you this, if speaking words of faith can turn your address from hell to heaven, I'm here to tell you it can change the address of your body from sick to whole. It can change the address of your mind from fear to joy, from worry to peace. If the spoken word of God can give you eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you, if it can overturn your entire destiny, it can overturn the health of your body, the peace of your mind. Are you here today? We having the same spirit of faith. You know that word spirit? It means the vital part. Or taking vitals of something. It means literally what we do to check if something is alive. You know, if an EMT shows up to an accident scene, somebody's, you know, injured, you know, and also even, or if you just go to a normal doctor's appointment, you know, but if there's an emergency scene and there's a car accident, you know, and somebody's, you know, maybe unconscious on the side of the road or something, that what's the first thing that EMT is going to start doing? Checking for vitals. For vitals, you know, they're going to see if there's, you know, any spirit there, so to speak, you know, looking for a pulse, looking for a breath, looking for signs of life. That's what this scripture says. We having the same strong vitals of faith.
Yes.
Or you could say it this way. We knowing that our faith is alive.
Yes.
We know that our faith is alive because as it is written, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Go to verse 14, just for fun. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. The resurrection of Christ becomes active in your life because we believe and we speak. Listen, if you came up here and you were ministered to, you say, I believe that in the name of Jesus Christ, that addiction is broken in my life. You say, well, Pastor, I'll just let you say that. No. You're going to lose it if you don't say it. You keep speaking that. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ that that addiction was broken in my life. Folks, we're going to have to stand. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're going to have to take the shield of faith. We're going to have to bring some life to our faith. We're going to have to start speaking. And now the question is, do you know the scriptures to speak? You know, this is why we study the Word of God. This is why we meditate, so we give our faith something to say. There was a woman who came up. You know, she started visiting the Erie Church a couple weeks ago. And she wouldn't mind me sharing this. And of course, I'm not going to give you her name or anything like that. But she showed up to the church just tormented. Just saying, Pastor, I'm so tormented. I can't sleep. I'm worried all the time. I'm just in fear all the time. She sat in one of our services a few weeks ago, and then she came up after service, and she was telling me all this. And my first question out of my mouth is, are you born again? Have you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life? She's like, well, you know, I'm a good person. And I said, that's not the same thing. Dare I say that? If I say it, someone will get upset. Listen to me, let me explain it. There's a lot of good people going to hell every day. If morals was the right to go to get into hell, why are we saying this? Why are we saying this? Because there's utterance on this. You know, if we depend on morals to get us into heaven, there are very strong moral people who think they're okay with God because they've never hurt anybody and they've done a lot of good things. But I'm here to tell you that morality is not what gets you into heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ and taking him as your Lord and Savior. So I asked her, I said, have you made Jesus your Lord? Well, I'm kind of a good person, you know, I don't know. I said, well, I'm here to tell you, you know, you need to get saved. And I said, you want to get saved? You want to take Jesus as your Lord? You want your sins washed? You want, you know, to serve God and to start your life with him? She said, yes. And so we prayed and she received the Lord right up there in front of the church. Then I told her, you know, about how to get free, you know, and literally she had never been taught anything along these lines. So I just wrote down a scripture. I literally took a notepad and wrote down what to say every single day of her life, you know. I gave her that scripture. She left and she started saying, literally just said, in Jesus' name, devil, you are not permitted upon this body. You are not permitted in my house, and I command you to go. You know, boy, listen to how silent everyone gets. Because people think that that's weird. No, I tell you what, if we don't learn to take authority over the enemy, and if we don't understand that there are spiritual forces working against us every single day, if you don't take authority over those schemes of the enemy, he's going to eat your lunch. God provides it, but it's our job to keep enforcing it. She went and, you know, for the next, you know, couple of weeks, she kept saying this. She was in service last night. You know, I talked to her after service. And I'm not saying this just to bolster anything or, you know, I'm not trying to grandstand something. It's just true. When I saw her come into the church and she sat down in the seats, I noticed a dramatic difference in her life. I could see her countenance had changed. There was just, no, it wasn't all perfect. It was better. It was definitely improved. And, you know, she had come up again after service last night, and I spoke with her, and I said, ma'am, you know, how are you doing? And that's always an interesting question to ask somebody. You never know what you're going to get. Folks, if someone asks you how you're doing, you don't have to lay on all the church lingo, but also you don't want to spew either, you know what I mean? But she didn't necessarily do that, but, you know, she came up, and she said, well, you know, I'm still going through it. And then I said, ma'am, I can tell you what, and I'm not saying this to act, you know, weird or try to grandstand or play a trick on you. I said, there is a noticeable difference in your life and just the countenance on your face. I was like, is it better at all? And she said, yeah, it's better, but I said, no. Yeah. It's working. It's working. It might say, well, Pastor, I thought it would just go away in one day. No, it doesn't just go away in one day. Standing is not a 24-hour activity. Standing is a 24/7, 365 instruction of the Lord. Folks, I'm telling you this because there's many times we don't see it working. You know, sometimes we feel like it's just going so slow, but other people are noticing a difference when you are just every day taking that stand, speaking the word of God. She came up last night and she said, you know what, Pastor, I'm still having some difficulty sleeping. I said, well, let me give you a couple scriptures on sleeping. So I went over to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 24 and gave her that verse for sleeping. You will lie down, you will not be afraid, and your sleep shall be sweet. Amen. I also went over to Psalm 127, verse 2, and it says, the Lord gives his beloved sleep. And it talks about the pressures and the sorrows and everything. Listen, God can give you and will give you good sleep in the midst of the hardest pressures of your life. Amen. But folks, we are going to have to say it. And I wrote down the references for her. And you know what? She said, you know what? I'm having a hard time looking things up in a Bible. I've never done that before. I took one of our welcome cards and I wrote down the scriptures right out. You know, and I told her, I said, here is the verse, not just the reference, but the whole verse written out. I said, take that and put yourself in that verse. I said, when you speak that word, say, you know, I will lie down. I will not be afraid. My sleep will be sweet. What is that? That's the shield of faith. That's the shield of faith. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery arrows of the wicked one. We're back over in Ephesians. Go over there to chapter 6 and verse 16. Look at verse 17. We're going to go right back over there. We're talking about the armor and the weapons of God, and we're going to wrap this up right here. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 17. We were just over there in verse 16. Praise the Lord. It says, "And praise God, yep, take the helmet of salvation." Notice you have to wear the helmet of salvation. Why? Because where is the attack going to try to get to you? In the mind. And it says, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." You've got to take the shield of faith. You got to wear the helmet of salvation. You have got to take the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. Amen. Folks, Christians suffer so much because we simply don't do our homework. Folks, what are you going to say in the midst of that challenge? Folks that were ministered here today, what are you going to say from this moment forward? You know, what are you going to say? Amen. And then let's just wrap it up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Hallelujah. Perfect soundness. Perfect soundness. There's a lot of, you know, Christians, they suffer because they suffer right here in their mind. 2 Corinthians 10. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's enough perfect soundness in this place for you to take some home and to live in it every single day. And that perfect soundness does not mean the absence of challenges. See, we're just waiting to feel this perfect soundness when all the challenges go away. Make your priority faith, not just to get rid of the challenge. Folks, we do that all the time. We serve the challenge. We serve the problem. We're just trying to think about the problem, make the problem go away. My goal isn't to make the problem go away. My goal is to walk in faith that pleases my Lord. So I'm just trying to change the problem. Stop trying to change the problem. Start trying to change you. Grow your faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Go over to 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3 real quickly here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not what? War after the flesh. Wow, that's a pretty heavy word there. War. Folks, there's a lot of interesting ideas about spiritual warfare and what it is. Well, I'm going to show you what the Bible says it is. And I'm here to tell you it's a lot different than what a lot of Christians, even full gospel folks, believe that it is. You know, they get into these goofy ideas and they're trying to scream down the devil and cast down demons over cities and all this stuff. You know, and I've seen people that do that are the most unstable, unfruitful Christians I've ever seen. Ooh. Yep. They're like, oh, I'm fighting against a demon in the heavenlies. No, you're not. because I can see the instability in your mind. You're worried and driven about by all this stuff. No. If you're warring with that demon, I'm here to tell you, he's winning. You know, you're trying to pull him down and cast. You ever heard this stuff? There's people, there's Christians that believe that you have to cast down demons out of the heavenlies. You can't. Stop. You need to prepare yourself. This is what the devil is the most terrified, is a stable Christian with a solid mindset. Take a Christian with a renewed mind who is not subject to the schemes of the enemy. That's what terrifies the devil more than anything. A Christian who knows who they are in Christ, who knows their authority over him. Amen. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not warring after the flesh. And that's what those folks are doing. They're screaming and shouting. They're just trying to fight the devil in the flesh. And I look at verse 4. It says, for the weapons, everyone say weapons, of our warfare are not carnal. That means natural. But they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Here's more warfare talk, right? We're in a battle. We know it, okay? Now, the weapons of our warfare, didn't we already look at the shield of faith? Didn't we already look at the helmet of salvation? Didn't we already look at the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God? And so those are supernatural weapons. Amen. They're not natural. They're mighty through God. It's a supernatural thing to the pulling down of strongholds. Everyone say strongholds. See, there's a lot of goofy teaching that says strongholds are when demons get control over cities and they make people act all crazy. People act crazy enough on their own. All right. You want to get people out of the demonic realm. Get them born again. Get them saved. Get them walking in the Word of God. Amen. But people think, well, strongholds are these things over cities. They're demonic presence, and you got to cast them down. There's just one problem with that. The Bible doesn't teach us or say anything about that. But it does say what strongholds are. Notice in verse 4, it's a semicolon. It means the sentence is not over. It tells us what strongholds are. Look at in verse 5. It says, casting down imaginations. Not casting down demons over cities. Not shouting at the devil and all this dumb stuff. I don't think anybody around here is doing any of that. You know? You know, and if you are, well, you know, now you know. And when I was a kid, knowing was half the battle. Hey! Quick cultural reference. What TV cartoon was that from? G.I. Joe. That's right. Remember they would have the moral lesson at the end. Do you know why they did that for the cartoon G.I. Joe when I was a kid? Because there was so much killing in it. No, this is a true story. The network was getting ready to cancel it because it was too violent for kids. So they said, but if you put a little moral at the end of it, we'll let it stay. You know? And so Duke and Snake Eyes, and they were all fighting and warring and battling and killing and all this. And at the end, you know, the G.I. Joe guy would come out and talk to some kids. Remember that? He says, and now you know, and knowing is half the battle. I'm an 80s kid. I can't help it, right? Back to more important things now. Casting down imaginations. Everybody, where do imaginations take place? In your mind. Where do strongholds take place? In your mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what I'm telling you. If you were ministered here, up front here today, or maybe, you know, you just got ministered to sitting in the seat there, I'm here to tell you is that the devil is coming to paint imaginations in your mind to try to exalt something above the knowledge that you received here today. You receive the knowledge, hey, I am set free. I have perfect soundness. Perfect soundness is for me. It's for you. Whether you had hands laid on you or not here today, perfect soundness belongs to you. Jesus died on that cross. He rose again to give you that perfect soundness. But there's coming imaginations that are going to try to tell you otherwise. It says, and bringing into captivity what? Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Where do thoughts take place? In your mind. Where do imaginations take place? In your mind. Where do strongholds take place? In your mind. A stronghold is when we've allowed thoughts and imaginations to get so strong in our mind that we are now captured by wrong behavior. Where does an addiction come from? You know, it first started as a thought. That thought then grew into an imagination. That imagination then was allowed to, you know, dwell in your mind. You know, whether, I mean, if it's pornography or alcohol or other things, you know, your body will just sit there and try to produce a picture in your mind of how badly you need it, how much you're going to enjoy it. This is what it'll feel like. This is what it'll taste like. See, the Bible says you better cast down those imaginations. Because if you don't take authority over those thoughts, it can very quickly become a stronghold. A stronghold is when something has got a hold of you. And I'm here to tell you the way you get free is start casting it down. Start taking the shield of faith. Start taking the sword of the Spirit and start working against that thing. That woman, in just a couple of weeks of confessing the word, I saw a much different spiritual situation on her life. She almost to the point where she couldn't acknowledge much of it. She says, yeah, it's a little better. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's a lot better. Because, you know, when a pastor preaches in the pulpit, many times he can see, you know, sometimes oppression that is hanging over somebody. And when she first walked into the church, it was like a dark cloud was over her face. And in just a couple of weeks, that cloud was a lot less dark. Just because you don't feel it, just because you don't see it, doesn't mean that it's not working. Keep on casting those imaginations down. The devil's going to paint a picture in your mind of you cheating on your spouse. Cast that imagination down. The devil's going to paint a picture of you in your mind of being debilitated and riddled with sickness. Cast that imagination down. The devil will try to paint a picture of your kids getting hurt. Cast that imagination down. The devil will paint a picture in your mind that you're going to die young. Cast that imagination down. No, you're not. And when the devil tries to tell me, oh, well, then if I can't take you out, I'll take your wife out. No, you won't. Well, if I can't take you guys out, I'll take your kids out. No, you won't. Well, if I can't take you out, I'll take your church out. No, you won't. Amen. You know, the word says, with long life, he'll satisfy me. Show me his salvation. Amen. Are you here today? Folks, this is how we stand. No, don't go and stand at, you know, on top of the counter at Walmart. The shield of faith, you know, doesn't mean you try to push it on everybody else. You know what I mean by that? You know, don't try to show off how spiritual you are. You know, actually, it'll become, you know, kooky and strange. But I tell you what, if you follow me around every single day, you know, if it's just even under my breath, there's so many times I have to say it. I don't take that thought. I don't take that thought. I cast that imagination down in Jesus' name, and then I'll quote a corresponding scripture to what God says about that. Amen. You know, pain in my body, by his stripes, I'm healed. You know, stress or fear or whatever. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. He said, you'll lie down, you will not be afraid. That's God's promise to you. Amen. What does God have for you? Perfect soundness in his name and by faith in that name. This is what the Lord would have us to do today. And that's why I had to leave my sermon back at my seat. Because I'll tell you what, God doesn't want to see you beaten up by this anymore. He wants to see you free. But you got to stand. I can't do that for you. Jesus can't do that for you. Folks, if you're being tempted to criticize the spoken word of faith, be careful. The enemy absolutely is terrified of someone that speaks faith. And just because there was some preacher on TV who acted foolishly, you know, and twisted something. Well, the devil twisted scripture. The devil quoted Psalm 91 to Jesus and said, hey, the scripture says that angels will catch you if you jump, so just go jump. Remember that? That was just a twisting of the scripture. That's not what it meant. No, the word of faith does not mean that you can, you know, change, you know, everything in your life into a big pile of gold. You know what I mean? They just think like, yeah, I'll turn my Buick into a Porsche. Well, no, you won't. It's going to be a Buick, which is nothing wrong with a Buick. I have one. Praise the Lord. I like Buicks. I'm just saying it's not a Porsche. You know, and there's just all this ridiculous stuff. That's not what the word of faith was for. The word of faith was declare the word of God as the promises of the Lord to you. Amen. Did you get something out of this here today?